going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome, Ant-Man. Ant, what's good? Appreciate you, man. Thanks for making time for us.
Yes, sir. Just changing my mic over.
Great. We'll switch that over, man. Get you.
I don't know. How do I sound?
Get you. Oh, you sound fine.
Sound good?
Yeah, man. You sound fine.
All right, cool. We're going to go with it then.
Okay, man. You good? Obviously, we spent some time this afternoon talking about the impact of Jimmy Butler's injury last night. You've watched multiple incarnations of the Warriors this year. If Jimmy can't go, the Warriors can't win, can they?
Not the series. Could they win game three without him and give him a couple extra days? Sure. You know, they're going to be at home. Role players play well at home. They'll be fired up. Maybe a more focused Kuminga who knows he's going to be in the rotation would help more. But if Butler was to miss the series, no. But I don't expect that. I mean, we'll see. We're still kind of waiting word. It was, you know, he was walking. I went back to the back last night when he fell down. And, like, the x-ray machine's on the other side of the arena. So he had to walk, I don't know, 50 yards maybe from the x-ray machine back to the visiting locker room. And it was a snail's pace. It was going slow. But, you know, I don't know. I feel like he left the arena walking. From what I heard, it's no significant damage. They're just, you know, it's probably going to be a pain tolerance thing. But we'll see. I mean, they need him, obviously.
Was this? We say that so casually too. Oh, it's just a pain tolerance thing. It's not our pain.
No, I know. You're
well,
right.
Well, the interesting thing about that is, from my understanding of it, I mean, there are varying degrees of it, but it's not like pain, like I can't walk. It's just a lack of mobility, lack of being able to move gracefully with something like that. That. You can't really fix. Like, you take some Tylenol, I guess, and maybe it relieves the pain a little bit or the soreness, but you just got to kind of wait that out, it feels like.
Yeah, stiffness, swelling, got to get it loose. I mean, obviously, there's the more extreme measures of, like, you know, Toradol shot type thing, right? Ooh. John Morant saying he can't feel his ankle. Remember that?
Oh, no, I ain't doing that. Yeah, I can't do that.
Yeah, well, that's big-time basketball, big-money basketball coming down. So, and, you know, this isn't exactly the most feathery, soft series you've ever seen either. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is bodies bashing around. I mean, it's how he got hurt.
Yeah.
So it's going to be difficult. He's 35. He's had this injury before. He missed 4 regular season games. Steph had this same injury, you know, basically, what, a month ago? He missed 2 games. Kuminga missed 1. Like, it's playoff urgency, so you could probably push back quicker. But, I mean, it's the right point by you. You know, it's tough to see him being Jimmy Butler, 42 minutes, you know, bashing into Steven Adams and Tari Eason and whatever. Like, you know, that's – they're probably going to, at best, have a limited version of him.
What did you think of this series before Jimmy going down last night?
You know, I was going in. I think I picked it in 7. Like, it could go any way. You know, you could see the athleticism overwhelming the Warriors. You could just see, like, the Warriors' skill and smarts and more. You know, they have the 2 best players in the series. A lot of times people will just pick it based off that. I would say after game 1, my fears about Houston were confirmed as far as like their half court offense, and they were the 21st ranked half court offense this year. Like, if you just bottle them up, keep them out of transition, don't turn the ball over, like, they do kind of struggle to score. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jalen Green, he was great last night, obviously 38 points. But he's not your like traditional super feared star scorer in the league. They go through Sengun a lot. I was really leaning Warriors entering last night's game, and probably would still if you guaranteed me five more healthy games of Jimmy Butler. But no Jimmy Butler, I mean, you see, like, the Warriors get thin really quick. Mm.
The Rockets, the young Rockets team, they're getting an education in real time on playoff basketball. And yesterday was one of those pop quizzes, right? Like, you lose a game at home, and now you're in a must-win situation. And they answered the bell pretty well. I thought they were going to win that game even if Jimmy played. But they showed up, and they played well. Now they're going to get another pop quiz going on the road, going into a hostile environment. Jay Center's probably going to be ready to go. They're going to be amped up. Do you see them getting one in Golden State? Or are they going to have to – may that come later in the series or something like that? But do you see them getting one of these two in Golden State?
I mean, they can. I saw them go into Chase Center a few weeks ago, play really well, and come out with a win. I don't think Chase Center is like an, you know, it's not what Oracle used to be. Mm-hmm. This just like dungeon of, I remember covering the Thunder in 2016 when they lost that game six where Clay went off, and like just being on the Thunder side going back to Oracle, it just felt like, oh, you got no shot going in there. That's not what Chase Center feels like. Now I do think there's still going to be some stuff working against the Rockets. I'm curious what, you know, is it going to be a Zach Zarba officiated game? Like, the NBA is going to be hearing and is hearing over the last couple of days, like, that they've let the physicality go too much in that series. And I know the Warriors behind the scenes are pointing out, hey, Steph Curry has 6 free throws in 77 minutes in this series. And they're going to be sending clip after clip of Fred VanVleet, you know, basically hugging him from the back, and just all the tactics that the Dylan Brooks and Ime Udokas are throwing at Steph Curry. So I think how game three is officiated, particularly how Steph Curry off the ball is officiated, is going to be a big factor. But I guess going back to your question, like, could the Rockets get one in Chase? Certainly. Yeah, I mean, they're the 2 seed for a reason. And, you know, if it is a limited Jimmy Butler, like, you know, the Warriors have played the Rockets 7 times this year. They've scored under 100 points 5 of those games. Now, the Rockets have scored under 100 points 4 of those games. It's like, it's real rock fight basketball, but Houston could win a game there.
Damian, Anthony, it's too much. The NBA is letting the physicality go in favor of the Kings.
JJ,
I'm sorry, I had a flashback. Okay. It's not.
All right, JJ Redick, settle down. Settle there down, JJ. Analyst JJ Redick.
Well, you guys, so I've had a few people today be like, is it fun for the fans to watch? Like, I had it. It's enjoyable. It's theater. I know it was kind of ugly last night. Did you guys watching that game?
I've liked both of these games. Absolutely. Like, I don't mind physical. I think with these teams, you knew what it was going in, which is what I was going to ask you. You talk about the physicality of this series. Is that a byproduct of Houston and the officials kind of knowing the way Houston plays? Or is that a byproduct of your boy in Golden State where they know he's going to whine about everything, so let's just, like, pull back a little bit and let them play?
All the above.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all the characters in this series. It's how Houston has to play, right? I told you that. I mean, we know they're unskilled offensively in a lot of ways. What have they done all year? They're by far the best offensive rebounding team in the league. They'll throw the Sengun Adams, you know, front court together, and they just – try to play volleyball off the rim and eventually get it in. The Warriors know that. The Warriors are extremely undersized. Their starting lineup is a 6'7" Jimmy Butler's the tallest player. Draymond, you guys know, he's 6'5", 6'6", maybe. He has to play overly physical. There's history between him and Brooks, the Warriors and Brooks, Gary Payton and Brooks. You guys remember, this series actually reminds me of the 22 Memphis series, where Warriors won game one in Memphis. Memphis came out extremely physical in game two, which included the clothesline from Dylan Brooks that broke Gary Payton's elbow, broke the code. That's where that initially came from.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. and we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
These people are all involved in this series, including Ime Udoka. And yeah, it was kind of guaranteed to play out this way. Now, again, I mean, officials can try to control it a little bit better, but also, like, I don't know, it's a little bit uncontrollable in a sense. And I mean, maybe, again, that's why I'm probably predicting that we're going to see tomorrow morning when the referee assignments come out, Zach Zarba. Because Scott Foster, by the way, is hurt. I don't know if you guys know.
No, I did not know that.
Scott Foster injured his calf in a Knicks, like, Celtics game, I think it was, in March. So it's why you haven't seen him in the playoffs, because it would profile as a perfect Scott Foster game three. Mm-hmm. But I think Zarba might be the assignment tomorrow.
We saw Kuminga.
Get well, Scott Foster.
Get well soon, sir.
From Chris Paul and family.
We saw Kuminga last night. I like the minutes that Quentin Post gave him. And even Spencer played some good minutes in relief of Pods not being healthy. Let's just say Pods comes back. Let's say, you know, comes back healthy, not sick anymore. Jimmy comes back at 70% or whatever. Even with all that, do you think that kind of others, I'll just use that term, that others production is going to be enough to win the series? Because that was my concern. I knew Jimmy and Steph were going to show up and do their thing. But thinking back to that Memphis game, it couldn't have been that for a whole series against Houston where they get those two get 30 and then like nobody else is over 10 points. Do you think they have enough from the others to be able to win this series?
Yeah, I think Pod's absence last night, or not, you know, you mentioned not absence, but mental and physical absence in a lot of ways. I mean, he was sick all day. He ate something bad. Mm-hmm. He tried to play. His first two shots were like an air ball and like some type of like hook shot that he threw like off the top of the backboard.
What?
Looked like he was mimicking a basketball player when he did that.
Yeah, it was not good. And, you know, he's been really good for like a month. He's like, made a leap. And he has been at times their third scorer. You know, he had a game in LA, he hit 8 threes, scored like 28 points. Mm-hmm. So they're going to need him to like these next 2 days, whatever that stomach bug, you know, kind of flushes and he's back to himself. Moses, I feel like every Moses Moody three is a huge three. Mm-hmm. So he would be the other guy I think kind of has to chip in. Post, you mentioned it. He hit 4 threes last night. Their concern with him right now is Jalen Green got him in pick and roll. And they finally found a soft spot to attack because he's kind of trying to, you know, he's a rookie center, right? Mm-hmm. Drop coverage. They were yelling at him to get up, but it's like that's especially being in those arenas and those playoff atmospheres you guys have been in. I'm like, can't imagine being a rookie center with like all these various, you know, coverages and people yelling at you and Draymond's roaring at you because you were, you know, 2 feet further back than you should have been on a Jalen Green pull up. So you almost want to minimize his minutes in somewhat because they have to win this series defensively. And I think he's kind of a problem for them defensively. But you might just have to win it as you like with Steph Curry getting 38 and Jimmy Butler, if he's there, getting 26. Or if Jimmy Butler's not there or limited, like, Jonathan Kuminga is a offensive weapon. He has his flaws. He has his feelings about Steve Kerr and the way he's been handled, and I think that impacts his play and his energy level. But if he knows he's going into tomorrow with a rotation spot, he's going to have to score probably 20 points.
Let's shift gears here, Ant-Man. Talk about the other team that you cover. You obviously weren't at Scott Perry's introductory press conference yesterday because you were covering the Warriors and Rockets, but you were there that fateful night against the Dallas Mavericks. You were even spending time with Dead Man Walking. Monty McNair. Did you have any indication that night that was it?
Yeah, I mean, we've been getting indication from.
Let me try this again. Were you told directly that this was it for Monty McNair that night?
I will. I mean, I mean, I was talking to Monty, to be honest with you, because he knew I was going to Houston, and he was telling me some of the restaurants he wanted.
Can I go with you?
Yeah, I mean, he was telling me some of his favorite restaurants in Houston.
It would take the same flight back.
And I will say this. There was still hope pregame, and I think it was reasonable because I covered the Thunder for 4 years. I went to school at Oklahoma State. I know Oklahoma City very well. I was telling him some of the restaurants I like in Oklahoma City because at the time, they're favored in the Mavericks game. Memphis, as we've seen, is not some juggernaut.
Yeah,
he was saying, you know, might be in Oklahoma City next week. You know, they could have been in the 1-8 series playing that Sunday in Oklahoma City. So I think there was still some hope, you know, that this – thing could kind of, you know, at least have a positive tinge and a little playoff series from the Kings. But I think two steps back, I would say everybody kind of knew where this thing was headed with Monty McNair and the lack of power he's felt for various reasons over the last, calendar year, you'd say. And I will say, like, it was the happiest I'd seen Monty pregame and the most visible I'd seen him in a while. That's just commentary on what I saw. I don't know why I didn't.
The last dance.
Yeah. And in some ways it's probably a little freeing.
Sure. Right?
You know, if you don't believe in the roster that you're representing in a lot of ways that is, you know, the moves that are tied to you. I think, you know, getting away from it probably has a little bit of a freeing effect.
Yeah, for sure. Now we talk about
that's an interesting line Ant-Man just had.
If you don't believe
about
in
the roster. Yeah.
Well, I don't believe in the roster he built either.
Well, so, understandable. Yeah. Understandable.
It's all fair. I don't think any of the paths have been, you know, going the correct direction right now, but.
Let's talk about the GM that is here now, man, Scott Perry. Yeah. Obviously been in the NBA for a long time. I'll ask you, and everybody, I think it's a consensus when we say, hey, what's his first order of business? Everybody says, figure out the coach, like all that. So we'll bypass that. We'll say, what's the next order of business you think for him with this roster? Like, what's the thing that he has to look at and figure out with this roster?
Yeah, and with the coach, by the way, you know, we even reported it that night. I do think Doug's in a pretty good spot for a few reasons, and we can talk about that if you want. But as far as the next choice, I think figuring out DeRozan's future, probably he feels like, you know, probably the guy who profiles it. Like, he seems like he would probably want to go try to, at the real tail end of his career, try to chase better playoff glory elsewhere. And as they try to, you know, rearrange this roster, to me, you're kind of stuck a little bit with the LaVine and Sabonis contracts, probably. Those seem to be kind of your two pivot points, and I think you just need to build better around them. I think we'd all agree, like, DeRozan as a third next to them, especially with Malik Monk still in the mix. It's just too offense-tilted. I mean, we know, like, they're screaming. I can't believe how honest everybody is about, like, the lack of a point guard. I mean, I know we all see it, but like, you know, I mean, the head coach is saying it. Sabonis, who's like super, you know, careful with his words, is coming out and saying it. So to me, like, can you flip DeRozan for a veteran point guard that makes more sense? That's more of like a table setter. And who is that? I'm not sure.
Fred VanVleet.
That'd be a good one.
Yeah, that's not a bad one. It's a pricey one.
Yeah, it's a pricey one. Who also is it would literally be a 1 year, right?
Yeah,
a player option. Yeah, 1 year. Yeah. I think is what he has.
I think it's a team option he has.
Oh, is it a team option?
It's because, remember, we talked about they can use that to.
Oh, that's right. A contract they don't even want. That's right.
Yeah. And one of the things with that contract, it's viewed as the salary filler if they go like big game star hunting, you know, Durant, KDs, Booker, whoever. Yeah. And that'll probably depend on what, you know, do they feel exiting this Warrior series if they get eliminated? Yes, they need to do that. I think they want to just build internally, but you guys don't want to talk about the Rockets.
Well, no, we had this discussion yesterday. We think a lot of it ties into another playoff series that's going on right now, and it's the Bucks one. The Pacers are making the Bucks look like little bitches. Like, they're just out there beating their ass. And if you talk about series ending quickly, this Bucks series ends, man. Like, I don't know how they just, we'll try again next year. I don't know how they do that. And there are, a couple of teams, Houston being one, Oklahoma City being another, and the New York Knicks probably being the third, where you could put together a package attractive enough for Milwaukee, acquire Giannis Antetokounmpo, and just like that, you're a title, like a legitimate title contender, or a title favorite even.
Two things on that. I think it's also going in a way where Giannis can look at himself in the mirror and be like, hey, my fault. You know what I mean? Like, because what you're saying about the Bucks in general is correct, but Giannis, you wouldn't loop into that. He's going like 34, 18.
Right. He's an MVP finalist.
He is his full version of himself. He's not the problem. And he can say, hey, if I'm not the problem, then this around me is the problem. And I agree. I mean, I think everyone in the league is kind of circling that. But how about them extending their GM today?
I was going to ask you, what do you make of that? Like, because we kind of talk about like, hey, you're going to be Nico in this situation and we about to pay you for it because they about to bring some heat to you. But what do you see from that extension?
I was surprised by that extension. I mean, you'd heard for a year about, you know, that he might be in a little bit of trouble with that. But, you know, and I do wonder, you know, if you're the Kings, like, you're not going to get in the Giannis market. I mean, Lillard always is intriguing, but I, you know, again, those are huge salary type things. So, yes, but that is a situation I do think over the next like 2 weeks that if it unravels the way it seems to, I think everybody's going to like Giannis's post game presser after game four, game five, whenever they get eliminated, I think everyone's going to be curious what he says.
You're going to interrupt programming to air that live. you mentioned Doug Christie a couple minutes ago. You think he's in a good position to be the next Sacramento Kings head coach? How so?
Yeah, I think for a few reasons. Number one, I mean, it's pretty clear at the end, you know, what side Vivek, you can loop Vladi as kind of a shadow figure, whatever you want to call him, into that Scott Perry, like, you know, they were on kind of more of a pro Christie side. Monty, who, I mean, we go back, we all know, like, he wasn't, you know, a proponent of firing Mike necessarily. I'm not, as we reported, he wasn't necessarily a proponent of keeping Doug. Well, who won that power battle? Clearly not Monty, right? He's not here anymore. So that's a signal.
Do you know what Monty wanted to do? If he didn't want Doug, and if he didn't want to fire Mike and he didn't want Doug, what did he want to do?
I mean, he would have, if he was still around making decisions, number one, it would have, Mike Brown would have been the coach the rest of the year, but also, you know, there's
oh, you mean moving forward. I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
Yeah,
okay.
Forward.
Got you. Yeah, I misunderstood. Yeah. I'm sorry.
But so that's a signal that, like, you know, I think Doug is looped into like the power equation here. Number one. And you know, he has fans in the organization that are pulling the levers. And number two, if we're being real honest, he's cheap, right? You know, he would come in at a number that would be a lot lower than if you go to try to chase down Taylor Jenkins or, you know, name your vet coach out there. And that matters for the, you know, they're paying Mike Brown $8.5 million.
Right.
They're tied to that. So I just like, that's an appeal of Doug. And the other thing, the third thing I'd say, if you're Scott Perry coming in, and this is just how, like, you know, GM coach, you know, organization dynamics work, you don't want to necessarily start the clock on your coaching hire quite yet. Right. If next season doesn't go good, and if he doesn't fully believe in the roster, and we've heard some of his comments in the past, right, about LaVine, if he wants to take a year to like assess the situation, it isn't a bad deal for him to assess Doug Christie, give it a year. And if he feels like it's right to pull the plug on Doug Christie mid next season, beyond next season, the clock doesn't start on him, you know, hiring a coach yet. So yeah. I think all things are lining up for Doug Christie to be given a trial run.
And how much have you been around Scott Perry? When I saw his resume, I didn't even know this. Did he spend some time working with the Thunder?
No, I don't know.
I thought it was Detroit Thunder, then here, then the Knicks, like, but I don't know.
Maybe it
was like around that transition time or slightly before it. But what? Neither here nor there. What are you? What has your experience been with Scott Perry?
I don't know him. You know, I work closely, obviously, with Sam Amick. Sam knows him from. He was here, as you guys know, for a few months. And, you know, the reputation's good. You know, sharp basketball mind. I do think the, you know, you relook at the offseason he was with the Kings, those deals don't look that great, right? That was the Zach Randolph, George Hill, Vince Carter summer where they kind of tried to juice up the veteran presence in the locker room for more of a win now approach for a team that wasn't ready. But, you know, you don't necessarily pin that on him. I mean, the people he's worked with, even in New York, speak highly of him. I've like, you know, I don't want to take too much from this, but some of the TV work I've enjoyed from him, even that Levine comment, I know it came out like it's not great for him when you consider like internal dynamics of the team, but like that's pretty like sharp, incisive commentary. Mm-hmm. And I think you kind of need that. I think you need somebody that looks at the game in, you know, somewhat of a cold-hearted way about some stuff. And I thought the press conference was pretty good, you know, probably as good as you could ask. And again, we've been here 100 times. Wow, you won the press conference. That doesn't matter. What does the roster look like? Can you win? But I would be going into it relatively optimistic. And I would say it seems like he has a nice rapport with Vlade and Vivek, which should help at least in the interim. We'll see. Like, I think there's bigger issues long term.
It was OKC, by the way. He was part of the front office that drafted KD. So. He was there
Seattle, right?
Yeah, he was right.
Seattle.
Or okay. What I say? Okay, see,
yeah,
it was Seattle. It was
yeah.
Seattle, by the way.
Yeah.
So he was there right before the transition, I guess.
Okay, yeah, because KD's the only one that played in Seattle, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
Russell Westbrook actually was drafted by the Seattle Supersonics. You go to draft night, he's wearing a Supersonics hat, but that was the offseason they transitioned. His summer league, they weren't even named the Thunder yet. They just wore these black uniforms. Instead of and another, this is, you'd only get this from somebody who covered the transition. Tony Durant, Kevin Durant's brother, was on that summer league team.
Really?
Which is...
Where did he play college?
Times in Oklahoma City.
You know where he played college?
Hey, it was some. You, do you know?
I don't.
It's a, yeah. Give me one second.
Tony Durant. I didn't even know he played like that. Like to the point where he could be on a summer league team.
Where did he play?
Towson.
Isn't that?
Oh, I love that school.
Yeah, there you go.
No, I'm thinking of another school. Yeah, I don't know Townsend.
All I know is in 1984, like the Jordan draft, like the 24th pick of the draft, if you just look through it, it's fantastic. The dude's name is Devin Durant.
That's right.
He doesn't look like a Devin nor a Durant. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Ant-Man, we appreciate you, man. We know you've had a long day. We're locked into the coverage the rest of the way with the Rockets and the Warriors, man. Thank you.
All right, fellas.
Take care, Ant.
Our man Anthony Slater, Ant-Man right there. The Athletic, the New York Times, man, great stuff as always. We will.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.